Welcome. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. This is the show where brothers-in-law DJ Culp and Brad Coleman talk about stuff from our perspective as men. It's a show for anyone who wants to hear how Christians interact with the world. And don't worry, we're real. We've grown up in church, and we want to share our experiences with you. We'll talk life stuff, church stuff, man stuff, and stuff. Here we go. Greetings, listeners here and there and everywhere all across the land. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. I am one of your hosts, DJ Culp. As always, here with my beloved brother-in-law, Brad Coleman. Brad, welcome back from being sick again, dude.
Yeah. It's not been my year yet.
Yeah, you're not batting 1,000, that's for sure. Yeah, sorry, listeners, that we weren't able to get an ep out last week, but Brad was sick with Brad, you said it was a cold, but dude, it laid you out for a couple days pretty hard, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm just a wimp. I mean, I am when it comes to that stuff, but probably a good 3 days I spent mostly just in bed, just upper respiratory infection, and was settling in my chest until they gave me some meds that kind of started to break it up, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'll spare everybody the grueling details of what happened next.
Yeah.
Cause I had to come out.
Yeah. Yuck. That's gross.
But yeah, if we'd have recorded last week, I mean, I still sound a little nasally, but
yeah,
it'd have been a rough episode for everybody.
Yeah. And I remember when I called, just to make sure you were okay. And I think you said something like, "Hey man," or whatever it was. And immediately I thought, yeah, Brad doesn't need to do a recording. It was pretty bad, dude. And I could tell more than you were just congested. I mean, I could tell that you were exhausted, you know, that you were worn down. So yeah. So listeners, sorry, we didn't have an ep, last week, but I mean, sometimes life is life, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, Brad, I assume that it's probably going around there too, but dude, around here, like the flu right now is rampant. There have been numerous schools that have closed their doors just to keep kids at home. So, I mean, sickness is, and maybe it's like this every year, but
it is the season too.
It is.
You know, some people equate it with the cold weather and they go, oh, it's the, you know, cold weather makes people sick. But my understanding is it's more, we're locked in the inside in close quarters together. So we don't get as much fresh air. We're not out as much. There's not as much room for us to get away from sick people.
Right.
And
we just share more germs.
But
sorry, I got to plug my computer in here, dude. All right, there we go. That
would be a short podcast.
That would be a short podcast. All right, so listeners, there's going to be an update in the coming weeks as to, for at least those in the Jackson, Tennessee area, there will be an update in the coming weeks about our relationship with Green Frog Coffee Company. But for the future, we will no longer be doing coupons with them. So sorry that we don't have a coupon to give you. But those have been ixnayed. But just to kind of give you the details, we will announce at a later date. However, we so strongly though encourage that you still support Green Frog Coffee Company as we do.
Their coffee's still just as good as it was before.
It's very true. Yes. And speaking of, so listeners, when this episode drops, Brad, Tabitha, and the kids, and us will have already spent the weekend together. Brad, dude, I'm so excited for you guys to come down. I'm so stoked, dude. Like, I mean, we get to have our soup day, we get to have a rail baron day. I get to fix I get to fix some green frog coffee, like the freshly ground beans that I'm gonna get for you guys. I'm really excited about getting to see you guys. So, that said, let's move into what we're gonna talk about today, Brad. This is a bullet point from a sermon. Shoot, I don't know when, but a sermon that I heard from our pastor at church. And the quote is this: the best place to learn what it means to follow Jesus is among his people. Now I've got some Mad Libs that I want to do. But I do want just kind of a Brad as an intro. I just like, don't chase it like the pastor Brad would, But tell me, like, just upon your initial hearing of the best place to learn what it means to follow Jesus is among his people, are you someone that would tend to agree with that?
Iron sharpens iron, so one man
Iron sharpens
sharpens
iron,
another.
yeah.
I mean, that's the first thing that came to mind when you said, "Hey, this is our topic for today."
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of other, again, there's a lot of other scripture, but yeah, I mean, when we're together with like minded people who are seeking to grow in Jesus together,
Yeah.
I think we're naturally going to grow because we're going to push each other on to do
Right.
that. And
Yeah.
even when we don't realize we're doing it, right? Just, I don't know how many conversations I've had with guys where they were just telling me a story and it encouraged me or challenged me. Like they weren't like, "Hey, Brad, you should do this
Yeah,
with your
let's sit
kids."
down. So, Brad, we're gonna start a discipleship meeting right now. All right, so I'm gonna turn my mic up a little bit here. There we go. All right, Brad. So let's start up some Mad Libs. This actually comes from well, actually I'll wait and tell you where it comes from until after we get everything in. So, Vrab. Hey, Vrab. Brad, I need a verb.
Jump.
Jump. All right. Verb ending in ing, licking. I need an adverb, Brad.
Adverb, strongly.
Strongly. Verb. How about puke? I need a habit.
A habit,
Not necessarily a bad one, unless you want to give one, but just a habit.
sharpening the saw.
Sharpening a saw.
That's like one of the seven habits or some form of that.
Yeah. Another habit. How about another habit? Picking your nose. We'll say nose picking. Verb.
Flying.
Lying.
We'll go with that. I said flying, but flying is fine.
Flying. Flying. Okay. I don't remember the context, so I'm gonna put fly and rather than and not ing. Okay. All right, an adjective followed by a noun. So I'll give the adjective if you give the noun. Okay. Ugly.
Stepsister.
Ugly stepsister. Liquid. How about let's go whiskey. Virtue.
Virtue, huh? Mercy.
Mercy. Plural noun. Ostriches. Brad, I need an action verb.
An action verb. I thought all verbs were actions. Running.
So run. All right, plural noun. Computer screens, verb.
Belch.
Belch. That's a good one. Action verb, hit. Need another verb.
Stare.
Ooh, that's a good one. Plural noun. Wheels. Brad, I need an adjective.
Let's see. Lightly.
Lightly. An emotion. Melancholy. Action verb.
Hunt.
Huh?
Hunt.
Hurt?
Like hunt.
Hunt.
HUNT. Hunt.
Hunt.
Like hunting. Hunt.
Yes.
Hunt.
Hunt. I need a noun. Let's go tooth. I need another verb. Man, you're getting a lot of verbs.
I know. I know. A lot of
Sorry.
verbs.
Sorry.
Drive.
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 Adjective. Ghastly. Another adjective.
Fuzzy.
Fuzzy.
Fuzzily.
Fuzzily. Verb ending in ED. Planted. Brad, I need a plural noun.
Ewens.
Ewens. That's hilarious. Verb, drink. And Brad, lastly, I need another verb.
Let's see. Through.
So
Tossed.
throw.
Tossed. Toss.
There we go. All right. So
Thrown.
our topic today w comes from oh yeah, I can't minimize that screen. Okay, thank you. Our topic today comes from Titus 2, Brad, verses 1 through 8. And when we use our handy dandy Mad Libs here,
Blasphemous.
our blasphemous Mad Libs here. Hang on, there we go. Oh, stop it. Man, my computer screen is going nuts. There we go. All right. Here we go. As for you, Titus, jump the kind of licking that reflects strong teaching. Puke the older men to exercise sharpening a saw, to be worthy of nose picking, and to fly wisely. They must have. They must have an ugly stepsister and be filled with whiskey and mercy. Similarly, teach the older ostriches to live in a way that honors God. They must not run others or be heavy computer screens. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must belch the younger women to hit their husbands and their children's. To stare wisely and to be pure, to work in their wheels, to do good, and to be light to their husbands. Then they will not bring melancholy on the word of God. In the same way, hunt the young men to live wisely, and you yourself must be a tooth to them by doing good works of every kind. Where are we? There we go. Let everything you do drive. Where am I? Dang it. Let everything you do drive the ghastly and fuzziness of your teaching. Teach the truth so that your teaching can't be planted. Then those who drink ewins will be ashamed and have nothing to toss about us.
I like the original version
Yeah, I
better.
like the original version. So elders have to have ugly stepsisters. That
And
was
they should
good.
love those ugly stepsisters.
They should. Even
Sisters,
those.
they're real sisters. Whole sisters, biological sisters.
Okay, so all right, our text here is Titus 2, 1 through 8. And The actual version says,
Mm-hmm.
"As for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, and to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely, and you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. Teach the truth so that your teaching can't be criticized, and then those who oppose us will be ashamed and have nothing bad to say about us." So, yeah, the listeners, one of the things that I do, this is actually the second spring that I'll be doing this, but I teach a, I guess it's a Bible study. It's sort of like a hybrid Bible book study. Right, it's a the book that we use as the vehicle is called the Titus 10, and I'm pretty sure at some point last spring you can go back and look at those eps or listen to those eps, but I'm pretty sure I mentioned it maybe here or there on the pod, but anyways, yeah, like Brad, what I've done is I've tried to commit to reading the book of Titus at l I've tried to do it every day. In the last like every day of the week. I mean the whole thing takes like 15 minutes to read, but I don't want to read just for the sake of reading. I want to read to really kind of dig into like what is Paul really saying here? I mean it's a very compact book. He says a ton of stuff in a very small amount of words, which is not like Paul. But anyways, when I
Maybe Titus had a short attention span,
maybe
and
he
Paul
did.
knew
Yeah,
it. And
right.
Paul's like, "I gotta make this one short."
Or maybe Paul thought like Titus already knows all this stuff, but I need to write him a letter as a formality, just kind of keep my kind of keep my MO, up and about.
Hey,
So
remember all of those things we talked about? Here's the bullet
here's the
points.
bullet points. But anyways, I wanted to know, I really wanted to talk about your perspective on the idea that the best place to learn what it means to follow Jesus is among his people. I would like to give an immediate caveat, if you're okay with this, Brad, that I don't take that into its full con no, I do take that in its full context. I don't think that it is only limited to being among his people in a church setting.
I would agree because I think we need to be about being a part of each other's lives. I mean, as the church, fellowship is a close and personal relationship, and that's more than Sunday, Wednesday
Yeah,
talk.
absolutely.
But I think again, corporate worship, coming together to worship, is important as well.
Yeah.
For so many reasons, but we don't necessarily need to go into those right now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
Number
so
one.
number one, I know that we don't need to, but I'm going to. So, one of the things that I'm just going to be honest. This is a really hard conversation for me to have because it's, I think there's so much legitimate gray area in the faith works conversation. But one of the things that the author of the book, I think it's J. Joshua Smith, I think that's his name, that writes this Titus 10 thing. One of the things that he mentions is a central idea of the book of Titus specifically, but I want to bring into the conversation of, again, the best place to learn what it means to follow Jesus is among his people, is the idea of works. Not a works-based salvation, but the idea of works. And I'm always very hesitant to start having a works-centric conversation when it comes to talking about the Christian life. I'm really hesitant because, like, I think legalism can sneak its way in very quickly. But when I read specifically Titus 2, all I re and it makes sense, Brad. Why did you have so many verbs in, in the Mad Libs? Because those first eight verses are littered with verbs, right? Things that we have to do, or things that he's telling Titus to do, that showcase what it means to be a follower of Christ. And one of the things that got me thinking more about this particular topic, if it's true that in fact the best place to learn about Christ is among his followers, then there's got to be something that goes way beyond just lip service, right?
So I would disagree with you a little bit.
I'm listening.
Okay. As you said, they're listing things to do. When the verbiage, at least in the NASB, older women likewise are to be reverent. Right? So
That's true. Yeah.
there's this consistency of and being and be and be. And there's
Yeah.
a
Yeah.
difference between do and be. And I think that's where a lot of times in Christianity we get mixed up.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know some level, some people may be like, oh, you're splitting some hairs right there. Yes and no.
You can do something inauthentically, but still get it done. But still get it done. I would agree with that. Yeah. And I'm not, and you're
You can do things that are loving,
without love. Yes.
but that is not what it means to be loving.
Right.
Right?
And
To
actually,
be loving means
yeah.
that I love, and so that's where I go, right, with the works conversation.
Okay.
If I am loving, I am going to do things that are loving. Right?
Without now, all right. So let me insert this immediate question, because I want to chase it since it's right here on the surface. Would you agree or disagree then? Because this is where my brain goes. If you would do things that are loving because you are love, that may, I mean, like I this is an oddly worded statement, but nonetheless, does that mean that you do things unaware that you're doing things, or do you do things because you are aware that you're doing things?
I think both.
And
I
that's
think
then,
if you're
yeah, okay.
loving, you're going to. So, your sister has been struggling with just her teaching, right? And she's not feeling like she's being successful, feeling like a failure. Those things that she struggles with.
Yeah.
And so, what I know is, she is a great teacher. So she's keying in on these moments and these things where she needs to work on, or where things aren't going the way she planned,
Yeah.
whether it was her fault or not, and she's keying in on those things and ignoring everything else,
Right.
right? Ignoring all of the good stuff that happened during the day,
Yeah.
all of the times when the instruction went well, because that's not a problem. Right. So she's keen on those problems. And I say that to say that she's a great educator, even when she doesn't feel like it. And I know that because I've seen her in action, and I've heard tons and tons of people, compliment and all of these things. She's really good at what she does. It's her calling.
Sure.
So she's going to do that well, even when she doesn't feel like she's doing that well,
Yeah.
right? So she's not acknowledging that she's doing it well. So if we are just abiding in Christ's love, and so Christ's love has overtaken us, and God has changed our heart, and he's made us loving, then we're going to do loving things. Now, not always and not perfectly.
Right.
And so we need to pay attention to what we're doing.
Yeah.
But, the Bible says that out of a man's heart, his mouth speaks. So the words that we're saying, are they uplifting? Are they tearing down? Are they valuable? Are they worthless? Are they trash? Those are coming from our heart. Those are coming from who we are. And so they aren't what defines us, but they're what shows what we are. Does that make sense? Because what's coming out is not so much the definition as it's just showing. Like an apple tree is going to produce apples because it's an apple tree. So
Correct.
when the fruit starts to grow, it's going to look like an apple because it is.
Right.
And so I think that's the thing is God saves us and he justifies us. And the Holy Spirit moves in. And then we spend the rest of our life on earth in the sanctification process, right? So we are being purified. We are growing. Now, I think we can affect that, but the sanctification process, the fact that we're going through it, shows that we belong to Jesus, right? But the things that we do or don't do, the things that how good or whatever we do or don't do, or how long it takes us to get to whatever the next level. I mean, sometimes I think in games, I'm level 237, you're level 42, like that's between, that's God. Matter of fact, he didn't even tell me what level I'm on, right? So if he even thinks of it that way, but it's becoming, he's making me more like Christ. Now, I think I can hinder that, or I can walk in step with his spirit and help that along. But none of the things that I'm doing are making me more Christian.
And that is why I'm usually very hesitant to I'm not going to say entertain, but I'm hesitant to go into a conversation that is a works-centric one because, again, the legalistic aspect of what you just said, I think, can very easily sneak in. And I appreciate, how you started that, in Titus 2, it's to be, right? The state a state of your heart, state of mind that we can't orient. It's impossible for us to do all on our own. And I think that right there is, for me, in my experience, and maybe not just conceptually. I mean, like I've got there are people throughout my life that have been pillars of like disciple models, if you will. Like, the people that I have seen live out their lives, and they're different people with different personalities and different scenarios that they face in their life. But yet, I would look at them and think, all right, so if this is the way that, say, Dave handles this, if this is the way Boyd handles this, then maybe I need to do the same thing, or at least I need to consider this. And why is it that they didn't? Or if I was in this situation, what would I want to do? What's my first thought? And so again, coming back, bringing to the surface yet again the idea that the best place to learn what it's like to follow Jesus is among his people. In Titus 2, I see I'm not gonna say a works, but at the same time, I don't think you can run away from it. The idea that it does matter what we do. It
Well, there
matters.
are, yeah,
It matters
there are do
more.
things.
Yeah, but it matters more what our heart is behind it. And so.
God talks about works, right? That our works will be put on through a test of fire. Wood, hay, stubble, silver, and gold. Right? Wood, hay, stubble, burn up. It's gone. It's ash. It blows away. Silver and gold, put through the fire, it's purified. Right? The dross and the other stuff gets taken out, and then it's pure. Right? So our works will be tested. But none of that is salvation. That's not salvation. And that's where we, I think, again too, where we get kind of turned around and confused sometimes. So God has called us to good works, which he set up before the foundation of the world, the Bible says, like that he's called us to these good works. So we need to be doing, right? But we need to be doing stuff as we are in Christ, or I think organically coming out of who we are. Let me put it this way. I am concerned sometimes with some people, with the way that I read the scripture, that there are some people that look like the best Christians ever. They do all the right things. They feed the poor, they wash the saints' feet, they know the book, that they're there, they're and but sometimes there's people who I'm concerned aren't those people where Jesus says, basically to partner going, hey, we cast out demons in your name. Like we prophesied in your name. And what does he say? I never knew you.
So the
Never
end
knew you.
the end of Titus 1 says this to the exact same person that you're talking about. Such people claim they know God, but they deny him by the way they live. Now, I think yours, that particular example is, I would even argue, is more dangerous. I think Paul is illuminating the same concept, the same principle, but I think like the whatever Matthew 17 or wherever that is, I think that's even more dangerous because the way that they live on the outside would in fact show or suggest anyways, that in fact they're Christians. And again, I think that's another reason why I hesitate, because it's impossible. It is. I mean, I shouldn't. No, I'm just gonna. Dude, I'm just gonna say this. To me, it is impossible to identify the authenticity of someone's Christianity, because that's not for us to do. So if all we can see is what is on the outside, based upon what they're doing. So I would even argue, Brad, and I mean, we fall if we hit a tangent, fine. But like the people that say, "Lord, Lord." And let's see, such people claim they know God, but they deny him by the way that they live. Would that even mean that followers of Christ would be are going to be unaware?
If they're followers of Christ, right? So if they belong to Jesus, those aren't the people that hear, I never knew you. And my argument for that is Jesus doesn't say, I used to know you.
Right.
He says, I never knew you.
Well, when
I
I say,
never knew you.
well, but,
So like when you say followers of Christ, what are you saying? Because when I
yeah.
say followers of Christ, I mean people who are saved.
Yes, and what I'm wondering is, would the people that are actually following Christ be able to tell the difference between not themselves, but
Okay, I see what you're saying.
a true Christian are the ones that claim Lord, Lord?
I think God has, I think discernment is a gift of the Spirit. I think we're all called to be discerning. But I do think some people have the gift of discernment. So I think there's that. I think you also have to get into what Paul says with even like the fact that he doesn't judge his own self. Like, he says, who are you to judge the servant of another? It's not the tares, all right, the wheat and the tares. I think about that a lot, where the enemy comes in and he plants the tares among the wheat, and they start to grow, and then they start to realize, hey, there's some tares in here. These are not all wheat. So they ask the owner, do we pull them up? Do you want us to go and pull up the tares? And he says what? He says, no, because you might pull up wheat while you're doing that. Let them grow together, and then at the harvest, we'll separate.
We'll separate them.
So God is saying, hey, I'm going to separate. Paul, I think it's Paul who also says, though, there are some whose works are evident going before them, and there's some where it's not evident at first as they appear. I think about Isaiah 29:13. Their hearts are far from me. They were sacrificing. They were doing on some level the things that they were supposed to do. But they weren't, but their hearts weren't there.
Dude, that is a tough verse. So, I've been reading from the NLT just because the Bible that Cher got me for Christmas is the NLT, and I'm trying to get used to it. And NLT says, so this is Isaiah 29:13, and so the Lord says, these people say they are mine, and this is a dangerous sentence, dude. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. Or the Greek version reads, their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God.
And what is that? That is the picture of you do these things and you're saved, right? That's the picture of, and we're not even splitting hairs with Arminian and Calvinist and all that stuff, right? Because I have friends on both sides of the fence. I've been on both sides of the fence. We're talking about people who their salvation is self-righteous.
They're the
Their
one.
salvation is in what they have done for Jesus or in Jesus's name. And they are the people that Jesus says, I never knew you. You were never one of mine. You
Because
have
you're,
never
yeah.
belonged to me.
Because you, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it, yeah, because you, whether, wherever you got the formula for however you line out salvation, it did not come from me. That's cool.
Galatians 1, right? Galatians 1, in Galatians, you have the issue with the Judaizers who are claiming to be Christians, but they're telling the Gentile Christians, if you're going to be a Christian, you have to be circumcised, right? You have to be under the law. You have to be following these tenets. And Paul uses some pretty strong verbiage, and he says, basically, wow, you've traded the gospel so soon for something that's not, even for another gospel, which it really isn't a gospel because it's lacking. And you know what? Hey, if anybody comes to you and preaches a gospel other than the gospel, which we have already told you, they should be accursed. He says that twice in two verses, right back to me. He says, I tell you again that they're accursed. They should be accursed. Because the gospel is about Jesus and what Jesus has done and what Jesus has done for us in our place and what Jesus can do and has done in us. So it's about Jesus, not about me. Now, we are to do, we are to abide in him, and then good works are to grow out of that. So we need to be intentional, right? With our good works, not just wake up and go, okay, God's going to do good works today in me.
And then not, yeah, right, sure. And not
Yeah,
look for
but
those moments.
I'm just going to sit at my table and wait. God has told us to go, and he's told us as we're going to proclaim the gospel, right? We need to be making disciples. We need to be growing. So, but again, the older I get, the more that I think I grow in Christ, the more like John 15, abide in me and I will abide in you. And then you'll produce much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. So we get so, and I've done it too, and I do it, and I have to refocus because sometimes we do love Jesus, right? We belong to Jesus. And those people who love Jesus and belong to Jesus can get off track by doing things for Jesus. or doing things in Jesus' name. Trying to instead of abiding in Jesus and letting his work come out of that. Like I'm a pastor, right? I'm a shepherd of a congregation. So we do things. And I have to be careful that I don't go, we got to do this because we got to do this. And
Whew.
sometimes, God's spirit goes, who told you you got to do that?
Yeah. Dude, that is a hard to me, that's a hard conversation to have. And when I say it's a hard conversation to have, it's not because like, the topic is like weighty or someone's feelings are gonna hurt something. But I mean, like, where is that line drawn? Nobody can draw it except for the relationship that you have with God. And that right there, I think that right there is coming back to, I mean, we've been, I call it monkeying and weaseling, right? The monkey chases the weasel around the mulberry bush. We've been monkeying and weaseling, and all of that is completely legit. But like, when we look at the mulberry bush of the topic, what is, is it really true that the best place to learn about Jesus or to follow Jesus is to, or sorry, what, how is it worded? I already forgot. The best place to learn what it means to follow Jesus is among his people. The idea that other people are going to, as you mentioned, are going to show the works of Christ, and they're going to not just encourage discipleship on like as a thing, as the central of the whole conversation, as a thing, quote unquote, to do, but rather as a, as an authentic like spiritual investment in other people.
I hope my life,
Man.
right? I hope when people spend time with
Tough
me,
topic.
I hope when people spend time with me that it makes them want to know Jesus more. I hope
Yes,
when people
yes.
who are unbelievers, when they spend time with me, I hope it makes them doubt their unbelief. I hope it makes them go, maybe there is something to this Jesus.
Yes, that's a really great way to word that,
And
man. Yeah.
so I hope when other Christians spend time with me that they want to know Jesus more.
Yeah.
That they want to grow it. I want to abide in Jesus. I want to go.
Right. Yes. And Brad, for me, first of all, I'm the same way. I don't think I would have worded it that way just because I'm not you. I would have worded it. I really hope that when people spend time with me, they want to know more about Jesus and less about what to do. I don't like, I hope that people, when they spend time with me, like even if it's my students in my classes, when they hear me teach, whether it's directly about the Christian lifestyle or not, I hope that they hear there is something that is deeper than just actions about this whole Christianity thing. There is something deeper than someone's opinions or someone's interpretation of facts. And I think from like, and I just want to say this because it's on my mind. There's a lot more than I'm hearing a pastor say this. I will believe him because he said it. You know what I mean? Like that is not the end of salvation. That's just the preaching of the word, which is insanely valuable, but that's not Jesus. That is a it's an ambassador of that's a that's a it's a it's a it's a I mean, hopefully it's an authentic, accurate representation or message delivery of, but it is not Jesus. Man, this is, gosh, dude, this is a this like I don't think I was ready for this. This is a heavy, heavy topic.
In James, right? In James, he tells us what to do when the devil's tempting us. He says, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. And then resist. So there's a work, right? Resist the devil, and he will flee. But first, I'm drawing near to God.
You can't skip that one.
And I'm draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Because what does that tell me? It tells me I'm his child and I'm little, and if I take a step toward him, he's there. Like, no matter how far he felt, he's there, 'cause he's drawn near to me. Because it's not just about me drawing near to him. Because if it was about me getting to God, I can't do it.
Well, and to me, I hear that as an absolute truth. Like that's divorced, if you will, from all contexts. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you, period. Now, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But like,
But I think you can't divorce it from there, because then you've got just the other statement.
no, I'm
No,
not saying I'm
I'm supposed to resist the devil and he'll flee. Well, no, he's not fleeing from me.
Right, he's fleeing from God. Yeah, you're exactly right. I didn't mean to make it sound like that. I was just saying though that draw near to God and he will draw near to me, or he will draw near to you. That in itself is an absolute statement. And as
Sounds
you
a lot
mentioned,
like abide, isn't it?
abide,
Sounds
yes.
a lot like hey, be in me.
Be in me. Yeah.
And hey, if you're in the ways that you're not in me, hey, come on. Come on over. Come on.
And yeah, I know that we got away from Titus too, and that's fine. But like, I really wanted to just kind of parse this thought out. So, just Brad, last question here, because we're running out of time. And we may need at some point. I mean, I'm sure that we will, but we'll may need kind of like a part two, like a and then we can have conversation. Second, but in your experience, how have you seen, or how have you experienced personally? I got to read it again because I've already forgotten how it's worded. The best place to learn what it means to follow Jesus is among his people. How have you experienced that?
Discipleship. Like everybody who belongs to Jesus should be being discipled and should be discipling others. Now, I think when we hear that, we think of programs. Most of the discipleship that has been effective in my life was not a program. Books Are Good wasn't a book. It was when my dad was following Jesus, my mom was following Jesus, and they took me along. So when others are following Jesus and being the hands and feet of Jesus and doing that, and they invite me along, and I get to see a picture of the heart of God, of who God is, of God's love, of God's justice, of God's, these things. We're all part of the body of Christ, right? And we're not all the same. So we're gonna reflect the same Jesus, but maybe different parts, maybe, if I can say that. So, but again, when I say discipleship, I don't want people to get confused that this it was being with others in this. No, it was going to church and seeing, Sister May get up and sing a song, and praise God, even though a lot of like, she wasn't going to win American Idol, but the heart that I heard. And the love for Jesus, the tears that she wept when she talked, when she sang about his grace.
Yeah, right.
You don't get that if you're away from his people. And so I think that it is. It's important. We're supposed to be together. That we need the church, and the church needs us. We need the church, and the church needs us. That's the way God has established it. There's some churches out there hobbling along on one foot because the other foot's missing.
Ha, that's a nice metaphor.
There's some churches out there that may be blind because We're the eyes.
Yeah.
See, God doesn't need us, but he has established his church in a way that we need each other
Right.
under him, in him, because he's the head, we're the body.
And he uses his word, and I mean, he uses not just his word, but he uses the preaching of his word as a way to illuminate how much we need him, but he primarily uses us with each other to drive that point home. That's what I think, you know,
And
like.
there's some things you just, so Jeff told me about this, and maybe I'm telling on myself here. Like, I do not have a seminary degree. I've never been to seminary as far as being, I mean, I've been to some seminaries, but I've never been a student
Yeah,
at a
sure.
seminary. Don't have a seminary degree. One of the things that Jeff told me is, many times he, well, maybe not many times, but he told me, he said, Brad, you can get, he said, you like, you're a reader, you absorb, you do all this stuff. You can get 80% from books and from listening to sermons and all of this, but you're going to miss that 20%, which is that interaction with other students of theology, that the interaction in the classroom, those conversations, those mates, you're going to miss that part
Right.
outside of seminary.
So as you were talking, Brad, specifically about programs, this image popped into my mind. When I think about, and I know that we've done a show on this, about the parable of the sower, but when I think about that, and you mentioned programs, you know, you said programs are good, but they're not, that's not discipleship. My first thought is, and again, this is my brain. Listeners, if you're regulars, you'll know this, that this is the way I think. But I thought, okay, if that's not discipleship, why not? Why is that not discipleship? It's not an argument. It's just a, okay, so if Brad is saying that this is not discipleship,
I'm not saying that it's not a part of it.
no, I'm not, and I'm not, I'm just, I, this is the way my brain works. You said that's not discipleship. Okay, well, I wonder why it's not discipleship. And I got to thinking about, again, the parable of the sower, right? The sower throws the seeds, and the seeds, the Jesus said that the seeds fall in one of four different places. The one where it grows, it's not just that it's healthy soil. It is also because there's a certain level of cultivation and fostering growth that continually happens. And let me explain what I mean. So if I'm not the sower, but I'm the farmer, so like I know I'm superimposing, but follow me. The sower goes through, he throws the seeds, and off he goes. So I am now left to cultivate the land and help the seed grow. Well, if there's a bunch of thorns and I don't get rid of them, I'm not the person that gets rid of them, then the seed's gonna die. If the seed falls on, you know, a sidewalk, right, the rocks or the hard ground or whatever, and I don't sweep it into where it needs to go, the seed's gonna die. If the seed grows, but I don't continually try to keep it growing, the seed will die because it's not gonna take deep root. And I know that's probably like a crude way of getting through this, but we're running out of time, and I'm just trying to get through this. So the idea to me is, why are programs not considered discipleship, and why is discipleship
And
be
that's not what I was saying, though.
I know, but hang on. Because programs have an end. Discipleship doesn't. Now a relationship with a person as a discipler, that may end, but the process of discipleship should not end. Programs have a beginning, and programs have an end. And when I say programs do, I mean like children's ministry is a program. I think it's an insanely important program, but it's still a program. Like, right? I mean, a child is no longer going to be at some point in time in the children's program. So the program is going to end. And so why is the program itself, not what occurs in the program, but why is the program itself not considered discipleship? Because the program does not perpetually facilitate discipleship. So like to me, and again, this is the way my brain works, but real quick here, like back to Titus 2, all of these 2Bs that you were talking about, teach the older men exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, to live wisely. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. Similarly, in the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely. The idea is that all of these demonstrations of what we would consider to be works are to be reflections of the heart that hopefully are experienced and displayed not just through modeling, but through the discipleship experience to be continually passed down. As you were saying, discipleship is meant to I'm trying to remember how you worded it, but discipleship should not stop. So that would be my two cents on that particular point.
Well, and part of, so here's what I'm saying is those things are part of discipleship. And I think that's what you're trying to bring out, but they are not discipleship. Like discipleship is being a disciple, following Christ, and helping and teaching others to follow Christ. What that looks like, what that means. And so we do that with Sunday school. We do that with fishing trips. You know, we do that in the car on the way to church.
Over
You know,
dinner.
or dinner. We do that over coffee. We do that on, you know, in all these different things. What one of the things that kind of is a pet peeve of mine, and I think partially because it, you know, I've had to go down that road of, am I wrong? You know, everybody's got their program, right? Oh, this is what you need to do for discipleship. This is what you need to do for evangelism. Those things cannot be put in a box. And we try to put them in a box, and somebody comes up with a clever thing, and it may be good. I'm not downsizing its goodness or
And
its
nor and
usefulness.
nor was I when I was
Yeah,
explaining kind of
right.
how I saw it.
But anytime someone gives me a book and says, hey, this book's going to change your life, if it's not the Bible, I go, I don't think so. I mean, it may be helpful. Maybe it changed your life because it helped you see something better in the Bible, something better about God. But what I think I want people to understand is that same book may not do the same thing for me. Jesus did not give the same speech to the woman at the well that he did to Nicodemus. He didn't give the same speech to the rich young ruler that he did to Nicodemus, to the woman at the well. He preached the same gospel, the same message, but he did it in a different box.
And an exact metaphorical parallel to what I was even talking about with the parable of the sower is this: if you're the farmer and I'm the farmer, well, I mean, I may have thorny ground and you may have like extremely excellent ground. Like your work, the way that you're going to care for that seed is got to be different, has to be different than the way I care for mine. Because like, I mean, I've got my work cut out for me, right? I've got thorns that I've got to get rid of. I've got to make sure that the seed can actually take root among a bunch of other junk. And again, that like to your point, the box can't work, even though the demonstrations of faith may be there. So I don't know if I don't listeners, I don't know if we landed on like anything completely and utterly resolute, but thank you for hanging out with us. Listeners, Brad, I'll tell you what, we're just gonna wrap this up because I gotta teach in 11 minutes. So listeners, we love that you've tuned in and hope that you have listened to the end and bore with us. I don't know. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Share the show. Experience the pleasure of coffee and food at Green Frog Coffee Company in Jackson. Rate and review our show. You can if you're not like a follower of the show, follow the show, subscribe to the show. You can get our podcast on any listening platform. Major or minor for that matter, that you know, anywhere that you can get podcasts, we're there. So we do this once a week, or presumably, unless either one of us is sick. This is us. This is what we do. And we hope that you've, enjoyed kind of the winding. I feel like I've been muddled today, and maybe I have been. So, listeners, my apologies for whatever reason that is. But yeah, beyond that, Brad, I love you, buddy.
Love you too.
So stoked about this weekend, man. Yeah. This will be fun. All right, listeners, we will catch you next time.